And we're going to look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And once you find that, we'll give your legs exercise one more time. Stand you up one more time, and we'll read a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And I'll read the odd, you read the even. How does that sound? Sound good? Okay, here we go. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just we come to you today, and Lord, we ask that you would, bless the time that we're here, Lord. You promised your word would not return void, and Lord, let us be able to strive to be more like you, dear God. Bless these things in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Can you believe it? Thanksgiving's Thursday.
Amen.
Can you believe that? Thanksgiving's Thursday. Some of you are like, "Oh, really? I thought it was next Thursday." Yeah, it's Thursday. Yeah, we had Thanksgiving last week. Thursday. When I think of Thanksgiving, I tend to think about good things. I think about happy stuff. I think about Thanksgiving, I think about being thankful. I think about family, friends. I think about food. I think about festivities that go along with it. I think about maybe watching some football. Let me do that, right? Any of you guys? Nah. I think about eating some more. Amen. Yeah. Amen. I think about having a day off of work. Amen. I think about eating turkey. Did I say that already? Think about good stuff. Don't you? Yeah. Think about good stuff. When I think of Thanksgiving, I kind of think of the word joy, don't you? Joyfulness. Happiness. Joy. Look up the definition of joy. It's the passion or emotion excited by the acquisition or expectation of good. So it's the passion or emotion that's excited or stimulated by the expectation or acquisition of good. That makes sense, right? Joyfulness. I think about Thanksgiving, I think that I'm joyful. Let me say, I'm joyful when I think about Thanksgiving. Pretty happy. When I think about Thanksgiving, I'm pretty happy. Oh, I think of good during Thanksgiving. I don't think of bad stuff. Do you? Oh, you sit down at that table, or you, whatever you do. Sit down on a couch, whatever. You start thinking about bad stuff. I don't. Usually when you think about Thanksgiving and you think about the idea and the thought of Thanksgiving, it's good stuff. It's joyful stuff. It's happy stuff. It's the expectation or acquisition of good. I don't think about during Thanksgiving, I don't think about the war on terrorism, do you? I don't. I don't think about homeless folks with no food, probably no money, no family. I naturally don't tend to think about those who have nobody to share Thanksgiving with. I actually don't think about those who don't even think about Thanksgiving. It's a funny thing, you know, over across the ocean, they don't have Thanksgiving. You think about that? They don't have it. Over in Iraq and Iran, they don't have that Thanksgiving. I think about getting the flu. I don't think about that when I have a Thanksgiving. I don't think about depression, sadness. I don't think about, as I partake of the food that I'm going to eat, about getting food poisoning. I don't do that. I probably would eat it if I did. I don't think about the empty bank account after buying all the food. I don't think about that. I didn't actually think of any of these things that when you think about Thanksgiving. But it's peculiar when I look in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll turn back there. We'll read it one more time. That was kind of a setup for what we're going to talk about today. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. If you had to close your Bible, if you want to listen. It says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, I want you to notice this statement here. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? What joy is Jesus talking about here? What joy is being talked about here? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? What joy? Maybe it was Jesus leaving his heavenly Father. Maybe that's the joy that he's talking about. Maybe it's the joy of him leaving heaven. Leaving the perfectness and peacefulness and total satisfaction of heaven. Maybe that's the joy that he's talking about. Maybe it's the joy of leaving heaven and being born in a feed box. Maybe that's the joy Jesus is talking about. Or maybe it was joyful to be wrapped in swaddling clothes and be laid in the manger amongst all the animals and all the things that go along with them. Maybe that's the joy. Maybe it's the joy of, as an infant, his life being sought after. Maybe that's the joy. Having to leave his own country and travel into a foreign country. Maybe that's the joy he's talking about. Maybe it's the joy of growing up poor. Maybe that's the joy Jesus is talking about here. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Maybe that's the joy. Maybe it's the joy of experiencing sickness. Do you think about that? Jesus Christ was, just always was, for eternity before that. He never was sick. Imagine that. Imagine the first time he got a cold, got a cough, was sick. Maybe that's the joy that we're talking about here. Paul wrote here. Maybe that's the joy in Hebrews that he's talking about. That Jesus was joyful for the sicknesses that he got. Maybe it was being clothed in poor carpenter's clothing. That's probably the joy that he's talking about, right? What? That's the joy that he's talking about there? What joy was this that he's talking about? What was this joy that... Who for the joy? Maybe it was teaching the Pharisees in the temple and having them want to stone him. Maybe that's the joy that Christ is talking about. Or maybe it was having his mom and dad return for him after they'd left him. And his mother saying, "Where were you? We're sick about you." And him having to say to Mary, "I was about my father's business." Maybe that's the joy. Maybe it was the joy of constantly being followed by the sick. Maybe that's the joy. Constantly being followed around by people who want something from him. That's joyful, right? Constantly being followed around by people who want something from him. They want to be healed. They need some advice. They need some money. They need some help. Constantly, day and night, followed by people. Give me. I need. Maybe that's the joy that we're talking about here. Maybe it's having the Pharisees rebuke him for healing somebody on Sunday. Remember that? They're not going to kill him because he healed somebody on Sunday. Maybe that's the joy. Maybe it's the time when he fed 5,000. Or maybe it was when he was eating up in the upper room, the Last Supper. Maybe that's the joy he's talking about. Maybe it's the joy of knowing that you're eating your last meal on this earth. Maybe that's the joy he's talking about. Maybe it was the joy of knowing that Judas was going to betray him with a kiss. Perhaps that's the joy. Or knowing that Peter was going to forsake him and say, "I don't know this man." Maybe that's the joy that he's talking about. Maybe it's the joy of being at the cross and all those people that he helped were nowhere to be found. Perhaps that's the joy. Perhaps it's the joy of being in the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating drops of blood, being so overwhelmed with what's about to take place, praying to your own Father and saying, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Maybe that's the joy. And maybe it's after praying that prayer, coming back and seeing your disciples sleeping, fast asleep, knowing what you're going to experience and go through, and they're sleeping peacefully, maybe snoring. Maybe that's the joy. Maybe it's being taken to Pilate, sentenced to death, whipped, beaten, carrying a cross. Maybe that's the joy that we're talking about here. What joy is this? Who for the joy that is set before him carried the cross? What joy? Maybe it was the joy of having a man selected out of the crowd, Simon, after Jesus had stumbled and the weight of the cross was so heavy. Simon the Cyrene was selected out and was forced to help Christ carry the cross. Maybe it was the joy of having your hands stretched out and being nailed to the cross and your feet being nailed to the cross and dying for the sins of mankind. Maybe that's the joy he's talking about. Maybe it's joyful to have all of the blame and all of the guilt and all of the sadness and all of the regret placed upon him. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Maybe it's the joy of seeing people that you were dying for gamble your only possessions away as you are nailed to a cross. Maybe that's the joy. Maybe it's the joy of being on that cross and being so thirsty and dying and having them give you a drink of vinegar and have them mock you as you're on that cross, can't do anything, you're nailed. Knowing that you have the power to instantly annihilate mankind and destroy it all. Maybe that's the joy. What joy is this? What is this joy that is being talked about here in Hebrews? That Paul is saying, weep for the joy that was set before him. What is this joy? And I'll tell you. Jesus Christ looked at the cross and looked at the crucifixion and looked at all the hardship that I described and looked at all the pain and looked at all the suffering and all the things that entailed his life. The Bible says in Isaiah that Jesus Christ was a man of sorrows, and he looked at that and he saw joy because he saw through all that, and he saw the resurrection, folks. He saw the triumph over the grave. Jesus Christ saw the sins of mankind being paid for and a redemption available to mankind. Before he saw heaven being made available to mankind. And he looked at that endurance, and he looked at that cross, and he looked at that suffering, and he looked at that hardship, and he said, who for the joy that was set before him? He said, how gladly goes well that to provide a salvation to mankind. And folks, I'm so glad today to say that our Savior looked forward to dying for you and me and providing us a home in heaven. I'm thankful for that. Folks, I think about this Thanksgiving time, and I think about the time of being thankful, and I think about all the things that entailed in that time, but the thing that trumps that to me is I think about we have a Savior who did not sadly go to the cross, or we didn't have a Savior who was forced to go, or who was made to go, or who was very neglected to go, but the Bible says we have a Savior that loved you and I so much, and cared for you and I so much, and was concerned about our eternity so much that he considered it a joy for him to go and be crucified. Amen. That's great. Jesus Christ not only saw all the hardships, but he saw through it, and he saw the resurrection. He saw the mediation between God and man being restored through him. He also saw all those folks who'd be in heaven because they accepted him as his personal Savior. Jesus Christ looked forward, maybe in that Garden of Gethsemane, or maybe throughout his life, and he saw the day and the time where you and I had bowed our head and accepted him as our personal Savior. That's why Christ went to the cross joyfully, folks. Let me make a statement here, and this is my whole message right here. Joy is not about having it easy, but it's about bearing your cross. Joy is not about having it easy, but it's about bearing your cross. It's not just simply about bearing your cross, but it's about one day knowing you'll overcome it. One day you'll overcome it. You'll be victorious just as Christ was victorious over his cross. You'll be victorious over that struggle in your life. You'll be victorious over that besetting sin. You'll be victorious over that shortfall. Someday you're going to go to heaven. You'll no longer worry about that up there. It'll be gone. You'll no longer worry about the thing maybe you're thinking about right now. It'll be gone. And folks, have that joy that Christ had. Look through that hardship. Look through that tough time. Look through that struggle. Look through that misery. Look through that pain. Look through that uncertainty. Look through it. Why? Because someday you're going to be victorious over that. If you believe this Bible is the Word of God and you believe that Jesus Christ paid for your sin and died for you on the cross and gave you a home in heaven, folks, someday you will be victorious over that and you will no longer have that cross to bear. Why? Because Christ paid for it already and provided you a home in heaven. Amen. That's good to me. I think about pilgrims. Why do they have Thanksgiving? Why was Thanksgiving so great to them? Why was Thanksgiving so meaningful to them? Why was Thanksgiving such an important time for them? Why? Because the year previous, half of them died of starvation. Half of them died of starvation. The previous winter, half of them were dead. Why were they so thankful at what the harvest had given them? Why were they so thankful that the food that they had and the harvest that they had, they were able to store? Why? Because the previous winter, just about all of them died. Half of them died. What was this joy? The joy was running the race and going to the finish line. You notice the verse before that, it says they were running with patience. There's no rush. Can't rush it. Running with patience. Why? Folks, someday this race is going to be over. Someday your life is going to be over. You got eternity in heaven. You don't understand it. I don't really understand it. We've not experienced anything eternal. Everything around us has a beginning and an end. Folks, someday we're going to have eternity with God. Someday we'll be in heaven. And folks, I believe Jesus Christ, that's why he was so joyful when he went to that cross. I believe that's why when Christ knew that he had been born to die for the sins of mankind, he counted it but joy for him. Because he looked to the future. He looked to what was going to come through it. I say to you today, Christian, do not focus on that cross that you're bearing. We'll call it a cross. It could be many different things in this crowd. Don't focus on that. Focus on what's to come after that. Folks, I got one life to live. I'm going to die and I'm going to be 11. 70 years, 80 years, 90 years. There's one. That's it. I don't want to spend that time unhappy. I got one life to live. Might as well be happy, enjoy it. And if Christ could know that he was going to go through all that. And his works, the Bible says it is finished, but folks, he's a mediator between God and man. He goes to God when that old accuser goes to God. He says, I paid for that sin. Who condemned them? It's his joy to him. Folks, you and I could be joyful. You and I could be happy. Who for the joy that was set before you? Or your cross? Folks, you and I all have it made. We've got eternity in heaven, folks. You and I all have, folks, we got everything. Is all set. What more could you want? You have a God who loves you, who's providing for you and cares for you and is concerned about you on a daily basis, folks. What more could you want? You've got a Creator that knows your thoughts and knows your mind and knows your heart's desires, and he's concerned and he wants you to be happy. I think about a child and a parent relationship. You got a child. You want your child to be happy. You got a little son. I don't want my son to be miserable. I don't want my son to be unhappy. I don't want my son to be depressed. I don't want my son to be sad. I don't want my son to be happy. I'd even die for my son. You think about it, you've got a Savior who bought you with a price, his life. I think he wants you to be happy. I think he wants you to be fulfilled in this life. I think he wants you to be joyful in this life. He paid for you with his life. We read in Sunday school verse where it says, no greater love hath a man than he lay down his life for his friend. I don't know if I quoted that right. Jesus Christ showed us the ultimate love, that he laid down his life for us. What joy was this? It's the finishing the race. It's the completion. Folks, it's heaven for us. It's heaven for us. It's coming to that point where you stand before Jesus Christ and he looks you in the eye and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Me? Yeah. Yeah. And he says, enter therein. That's going to be great, folks. Ooh, for the joy. Folks, when you compare what you're going through right now, you look at what Christ went through. And he said, who for the joy that was set before him? I can be joyful! I can have joy! I can do it! I don't have to go through a cross, I don't have to be crucified, I don't have to be punished, I don't have to send a man die put off on me. I just got my short little life to go through, and then I've got eternity in heaven. Who for the joy that is set before me? When I think about this time of Thanksgiving, folks, I think about food, yeah. I think about turkey, I think about family, I think about friends, I think about a day off. But folks, I think about Savior, who went to the cross joyfully for me. For me. He counted it joy. Folks, I am thankful for that. Thankful for my Savior who loved me, died for me, paid for my sins, and counted it but joy. If I could have everybody stand, bow your heads. Heavenly Father God, Lord, this is really a message more for Christians, Lord, people who have been saved, ask Jesus, ask you to come into their heart. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you counted it joyful, kind of beyond my understanding, to go to the cross and pay for my sins. With their head bowed and their eyes closed, this time of year, designed more for others. Thanksgiving. Christmas. Gives us a glimpse of the mindset of Christ, others. Folks with our head bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here today, you may be going through some hardship.